Never?
No.
Ever?
No.
You never want to get married?
Nope.
Never want kids?
Not a chance.
Ever?
Never. Is that so bizarre?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I just don't see the value in it. All right, sell it to me.
What?
Sell me marriage.
Okay, how about love?
Okay.
Stability? Somebody you can count on?
How many stable marriages do you know?
Somebody to talk to? Someone to spend your life with?
I'm surrounded by people to talk to. I doubt that's gonna change.
How about just not dying alone?
Starting when I was 12, we moved each one of my grandparents into a nursing facility. My parents went the same way. Make no mistake, we all die alone. Now, those cult members in San Diego with the Kool-Aid and the sneakers, they didn't die alone. I'm just saying there are options. Oh, fuck.
This is Damon.
And this is Douglas.
That is silence, which I will cut out of the podcast.
Audacity to
or
rescue.
You could just put in an Art and Garfunkel. Oh, sorry,
Simon Art and Garfunkel. Art and Garfunkel, my friend.
I think we've got the right version of Douglas.
Yep, we did it.
He's just on point.
Yep.
Art, everything he wants.
Yep. Art and Garfunkel. You know that great band? Dynamic duo.
Yeah, it is Art so Garfunkel. Like, yeah, his name heard. His name includes Art and Garfunkel. Yeah. So you know,
it's like Batman versus Spider-Man movie we just watched. It's really good.
I like it a lot.
Look, that was Spider Gwen and nothing less. Right?
I hate fuck.
Anyways, this week Douglas asked us to do something that every once in a while we have to do.
I asked us to watch Star Wars twice, which I have done so far since since having access to that movie.
I mean, technically, this would make your 83rd viewing of A New Hope.
So I wasn't sure if I could get over that. Mm-hmm. I've gotten over that
of
right
course,
quick.
Because it said right Star quick. Wars in the title. You people have never been rational about
but
Star
But think
Wars.
About this, Damian.
Yeah.
Do you like Creed?
Yeah.
It's the same argument. Creed is Rocky.
Guys, let's leave it alone. Douglas, you shut up.
Douglas,
Damon, don't
do that. It
really is, but you're wrong.
An old man trains a young boy to box against somebody who he's definitely going to lose against, but doesn't lose against, but also doesn't win. Wait, isn't that exactly the same thing as the first Rocky
movie? So the
movie
we're talking about is
the same thing as Cobra.
So the movie we're talking about this week, at the request of Douglas, is Anomalisa, the latest feature from Charlie Kaufman.
I have to tell you, Andrew, before you get into your fancy description, I am very upset that this Anomalisa has nothing to do with switching around the letters in the words Mona Lisa. I'm very upset about that. Because that's what came to my mind.
Wow.
That's my friend. In nerdy.
Because the thing is, I never even considered that. Like, I heard anomaly. Every time I heard that.
Clearly they explained that in the movie, that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's some sort of wordplay on Mona Lisa.
What is it to be human? What is it to ache? What is it to be alive? Each person you speak to has had a day. Some of the days have been good, some bad.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
So this movie, for those who haven't seen it,
which is everybody.
Are you sure? Have you done a survey?
No one has seen it.
Survey says.
It's about a guy who goes off on a business trip, mm-hmm. and he books into a hotel, mm-hmm. and he is bored with his life. He's gone past angry at things being what they are to just being bored. And he meets a young woman that night who he bangs. That's pretty much the story of the movie.
That's how stories work, right?
But the thing that I want to ask you guys, thinking about this movie more and more, is my question is, how do you come back from boredom? Right? Because the thing about this guy in this movie is that the movie makes it very clear to us throughout its going on that this guy has become completely apathetic to everything around him, to the point at which every character that isn't him or the girl sound exactly the same because they're voiced by the same actor. It literally could have been that sound and we would have gotten the same effect.
Made a bet on me.
But we would have had a lot less interesting dialogue to get into.
Would we?
Yes, we would. Yes, we would.
I like the dialogue of Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown.
So yeah. when you watch this movie, do you view Stone as someone who has contempt for his boredom, or is just waiting for something to knock him out of it, as this movie literally does?
He's just a bitter, like he's a jaded asshole and has given up on life being interested. Like, he's bored because he's making himself bored. If you view everything as, oh, I've seen that before, then this is the road you eventually end up on, where you've seen everything. You can rationalize anything like that. Seen it all before, so that's not fun. I really didn't like this movie. I'm not. They did the. What do you call that style?
Animation. Stop motion.
Right.
I love stop motion movies.
Paper mache?
Yeah, it's not really clear.
They used puppets, I believe. Right.
Play-Doh?
I think. Initially, I enjoyed the stop motion, but as the movie continued, I didn't.
Did you enjoy the stop motion penises?
I always enjoy stop motion. Yeah.
Okay.
Douglas has the dumbest question anyone's ever asked. Is there anyone that doesn't?
I would hope not.
They're not good people. But as the movie started to bore me, so did the animation. And I felt myself being less and less impressed with the movie. Do you guys remember Caroline?
Yes. Coraline, right? Isn't it Coraline?
Yours. I remember.
One
even
of the Gaiman's movies.
Yeah.
I remember, even though I didn't love that movie, it was the animation that carried me through. There was points where the movie kind of dipped, but just watching what was on the screen was so impressive to me that I went, all right, fine. But this movie didn't do that. And I don't know what it is.
Well, it's in one sense, this movie, unlike Coraline, and you can pick out most of those children's animated movies, the thing about those movies are every 20 minutes or so, they feel they have to introduce you to something new.
Yeah.
So you're visually you have something to just get you. This movie, it's real life.
Yeah.
And more to the point, sticking with him being bored with life, everything kind of looks the same. Yeah. And it's all...
I guess they did their job.
I mean, they have that one big dream sequence where things kind of go crazy. But it's not like normal Charlie Kaufman crazy where it becomes a whole new world and you're kind of interrupted with things being
Did you see that there was a YouTube video about that lately?
No.
Where there was a fella dressed as Aladdin and a lady dressed as Princess Jasmine who were riding a magic a magic carpet through the streets of, I believe it was LA.
Change my mind, I love this world.
Does that count as a magic carpet?
I mean, yeah.
If they're dragged by hillbillies.
No, it was even better. I never actually watched the video too tough, but it actually looked like carpet. It was a motorized thing that was shaped like a carpet.
Right.
So it was like something with wheels on it.
If two idiots decide to sit on a carpet and sing a whole new world through the street of literally anywhere, that carpet is magic. I don't care what anyone says.
Douglas.
I feel like I kind of like this movie. Charlie Kaufman is always a little bit odd. And so there are movies of his I've watched that I've loved immediately. There are movies that I've watched of his that I've hated immediately. But there's some that are kind of like slow burns. Andrew, that movie was horrible.
Is it really a movie if it's that bad?
I don't know. But there's some that are slow burns, and I feel like this might be one of them. This one is very intriguing, and I love what they do with the voice acting. The fact that everybody is Tom Noonan, everybody is the same actor. And you know, it shows that kind of boredom, or even. I kind of took it as more selfishness than boredom, but yeah, there's definitely that aspect of it, and it's great. For a couple seconds, I didn't realize it was happening. I remember the first time there was kind of like a voice handover, let's call it, where, you know, one person spoke and then the other person spoke, and I was like, that's funny. They kind of sound alike.
It actually threw me the first time we heard it, because it didn't really catch me until he got on the phone to what would be his wife.
Yeah, his wife and his child.
And then I was like, is he married to a guy? That's okay. But I mean, I thought the name was Donna. That's a female name. Like,
yeah.
All right, I'm going with this. And then I noticed it more and more going through, being like, oh, so everyone is that guy. And yeah, I like that concept, if only for the effect it has on me watching the movie the moment that Lisa appears, where someone is actually voiced by a different person at that point, where you're like, oh, there's something interesting about her now, right? She's no longer this boring person to this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that I was sucked in for the whole movie. There was never a point where I really felt like it was dragging, so to speak. It was a good little time. I really want to watch it again, because I feel like there's a lot more that I can get from it. But I like this movie.
So before Andrew goes, I'm looking at all the movies that Charlie Kaufman did.
Yeah,
and it's now making sense why I couldn't really get into this movie, because he's yet to make a movie.
Have you looked at the ones he's written? Have you looked at the ones he's written?
He's looking at the writing one.
It's only recent.
Do you like Eternal Sunshine?
No.
Confessions of what?
No, I did not like
it. I didn't realize he wrote that movie.
He's not happy with it, though.
Aw, but I like that one.
I remember there was a time I thought I enjoyed being John Malkovich.
Oh.
That time has come and gone.
That movie's great.
I don't like that movie.
I'm a late bloomer to that movie, but I like that movie.
Human Nature.
Oh, I love that movie.
Uh-uh.
So good. It's the one with...
You know which one is
okay.
I think the one that
adaptation.
The one that I
Meryl
may,
Streep. The one
I
with Meryl Streep in it.
Hate the most is Adaptation.
Wow.
I don't count cinema, that's not a movie. We're talking about movies here. I thought you established that earlier.
But I love adaptation. It's boy, so I don't. Special.
Damien, you know, Meryl Streep is in that movie.
I'm
right?
well aware. I am well aware. Damien. And my boy, Nicolas Cage, is also in there.
And no, he's Nick Cage.
At his most, Nick Cage.
He is so Nick Cage that they needed two of them, Damien. They needed two Nick Cages.
I don't like...
And there's this awesome metaphor for who's the boring one and who's not the boring one. And when the writing's in one hand, there's nothing going on. And then when the writing's in the other hand, it becomes an action movie. It's so good.
Here's the thing. Like, it's not to the point where I'm going to go, alright, I'm never watching any more of his movies. Because none of them are, like... horror shows, except for the one that we're not talking about.
Yeah.
the best one.
They're all, sure. They're all, like, they're well-made movies, just like this one.
It's a
well-made movie, like, it's well-acted. The story could be interesting if it was taken another way, but that's just for me. Clearly, people like him and his craziness. And I see that, that's fine. But now, looking at the list, I'm like, I guess it makes sense. Like, it's just one of those things that, like, I don't like when people say this because it sounds like easy out. You're like, I just don't get it. Right? But I think, like, whatever the thing is that will get me to like his movies, I don't have yet. Whatever that last piece of the thing.
You have to level up.
Clearly.
Star Wars leveled up.
Mm-hmm. To the first one. New game plus. You start right at the beginning. With all the shit you had from the first, from the last level.
But now they can pause. Yeah. They can pause bullets.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now you can cheat with all of the new shit that you learned while doing the same shit again.
I love how people get upset about things like that. And you're not allowed to do that with the Force. Because this imaginary force from a made up movie doesn't work that way. Alright, sorry. Look, I forgot science.
Guys, we're not talking about Star Wars.
Batman and, like, people argue comic book shit.
I know,
of course.
I mean, please, do we remember that there was a scene in that movie in Batman vs. Superman where there were, like, walking, talking grasshoppers, right? Remember?
Like, there was a time in my life I had a sister before she developed sense. We couldn't make fun of Lord of the Rings, like, at all. We all read those books. And I went, listen, this sing-song is shit in this book. And she would get legit and try to explain to me that this man had created a fake language and done it so well that he could create fake music in this shitty language. And then those movies came out. No, action movies. And then all of it disappeared.
Damn right.
All of her uppityness flew away. Like, oh yes, the only reason people like this is because a guy took a sword and stabbed a fire dragon or whatever. That's what people... It's dumb. Right, what were we talking about? Charlie Kaufman. Mr. Kaufman, listen. I'm sure you're a genius to some, who cares what I think, but I don't like any of them.
Yet.
I'm sure one day I will gain the knowledge and the maturity, although I cannot imagine that the two people sitting beside me have gained either of those things.
I'm and very mature.
And
I know I don't have any knowledge.
They seem to enjoy your movies.
So...
this dipshit.
So the thing that I found really interesting about this movie, number one, this movie actually started out as a radio play, which watching it made a lot of sense to me because I'm like, a lot of this would be really effective, like just as a story, as a radio story. People are reading out and you hear the sound effects and they're like, he walks into a room like, yeah, you could do this as a radio without any real loss of...
So would the lead character be like the Shadow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
you, for the three people that are old enough to understand, you know, like the shadow.
Number one, I think I've talked about it before. I kind of love stop motion animation in movies. I think it's just a thing that I always find cool. Maybe it's because it's something where in my mind I'm like, I could do that, you know, just get a thing and mm-hmm. put it together. But just the action, just the motion itself, seeing it, and it's not so much when you see something being completely fluid, like filming a person actually doing something. It's when you actually see the jagged motions that I actually kind of, it kind of becomes endearing to me. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat as a nice little thing. And just on a whole, like whenever I see a stop motion animation movie, I'm like, yeah, I like seeing this thing put together. But what I love even more is how this movie uses some of the stop motion tricks, include and how it ignores others. So for example, one of the things that I know was super intentional with this movie was the fact that they didn't brush over any of the edges of the dolls. So, like, for example, you can see where the mouths are attached. You can see that these things are all detachable. Because with these things, you don't want to animate the arm and the mouth at the same time. So what you do is you mold 50 mouths and you just swap them in and out to make the motion. Mm-hmm. And it came in use in that crazy dream sequence where you actually see the face being broken off.
Do you think that was an accident? Do you think they were moving him around and then it fell off and they're like, just roll with it?
Yep. It's a dream anyways.
And like those things, I really like seeing those things in the movie. Like it's aesthetically pleasing to me to see those things happening. Another little moment as it relates to like stop motion, there's this, I don't remember if it was a part of the dream or not, but there was this one moment where he's like in the bathroom and he's just staring at himself and he sees his face just switch into like 5,000 different emotions at one after another, and he's just kind of befuddled as to what happened in front of him, and just like it really works on me. But as it relates to the narrative of this movie and what it made me feel, I mean, I've already talked about the boredom and Lisa's entry into the movie and how I like the effect of that. What I really wanted to talk about specifically was the ending of this movie, right?
You mean, well, I probably shouldn't say that. But it wouldn't spoil the movie, but it's a shitty thing that he does. he gets a gift and fuck him for getting that gift.
So if I don't think what I'm about to say will spoil the movie for people, but if you are listening and you have tender ears, feel free to shut off now. But the end of this movie, when the whole trip is over and he's gone back to his family, and we get this moment where we see a scene of Lisa reading a letter, right? I wanted to ask you guys about it, because watching that scene, I had two questions, right? Because early in the movie, when the movie begins, we see him with a letter, and you see the embodiment of the person who wrote that letter reading it to you, and you kind of take that as fact, right? Mm-hmm. So then later in the movie, if I remember correctly, you don't actually see a physical letter. You just kind of, you see her writing the letter. You don't see him holding it. And I started to question whether that sequence was actually real or he imagined it, right? As him trying to imagine what Lisa after events would be, right? And maybe it's because of the recent conversations about gender in movies. I started to think about what this movie was for her more than what it was for him. Because most movies like this, as they move forward, you always start to question what this movie... You expect at the end of the movie that the events has had some effect on him. But when the movie's over, we've gone back to the monotone, everyone has the same voice, and it feels almost like there was absolutely no effect on him of everything that happened, with the exception of that one scene, right? And if it is if it is a scene where we're just getting a capture of what really happened to Lisa, then we're actually seeing something affecting someone, which could put a question mark of, is this really Lisa's movie and not Stone's movie, right? And if it's imagined, does that mean that there was actually an effect on Stone? Right, and it's something that I've been thinking about since watching this movie, and I'm curious as to where you guys fell on it.
So, I now know why you like Charlie Kaufman movies. Because wow.
So where all the notes came from.
Yeah. But, what was the question?
That's a thinking man's movie.
Yeah, because... That was about 20 thinking man's questions.
So it's really two questions. Right. Number one.
Right, if a train leaves the station.
I think you asked what this movie was about, and clearly this movie is about a man with the equivalent of the anti-Midas touch penis. Right? Because he touches her with his penis and all of a sudden she becomes normal. Right? So that's what this movie is about. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I think this movie, a lot of times people go, I don't give a fuck. I think this is a movie about a man that literally has zero bucks. I'm out. And then a lady is introduced that gives him one, and he ruins her life. Right. I just assumed that she took away from the entire situation that she should avoid men like him, like the plague, regardless of what they were saying towards the end. That is just what I took from the movie. And that he continued to be this terrible person that he was being before. I didn't even consider that this was his projection of what she...
I took what I took at face value was the fact that the letter existed. I think it did. You see him pull it out, but that doesn't necessarily mean it existed. But the scene where, you know, it kind of fades in and you see her, you know, and I know all you people out there can see me gesticulating wildly.
Finger wagging like a boss.
Yes. So you see a scene where you actually see it acted out by the lady. I didn't necessarily assume that that happened, and especially based on the conversation with her. I think it doesn't really happen, because she's like, you just left. What the hell? But you know, I'm fine with that letter existing and that conversation not really existing, and him kind of carrying it around with him because. He's the worst person in the world, but at the same time, there's
hope.
Well, I don't even want to call it hope. It's almost like him holding on to it, to be like
the last piece of his humanity.
No, not the last piece of his humanity, but in a bad way, right? I'm not looking at this in a good way, but just to kind of almost still keep ownership of her in a sense, you know, to be like, yeah, one day I'll come back and fuck with her even more, which is essentially what he does here. So, and you can see he has three separate relationships with women in this movie, and they're all bad, right? You have this one where he clearly hurts this woman, like, deeply, but at the same time, he calls her and she immediately runs to where he is. She, you know, she's very... it's almost as if he was even more of an asshole, he could have just been like, all right, here what? So, have a room upstairs. And he did that, but he just didn't do it right. Let's go. And she'd have been like, all right, cool. Like, cause just he just felt like that kind of a shitty kind of dude. At least at that stage of the game, when he was with Lisa, he felt a little more hopeful. He felt a little more like he was trying to kind of break that cycle or.
Just assumed he was a put on.
Yeah. However, as I say, it's kind of a bit because of the way how it ended. You're just like, you know what? yeah, you're just an asshole. And then he goes home to his wife and they're like, yeah, that's another one. That's not a good relationship either. So this guy is just, you know, he's selfish, he's bored, he's, you know, everybody literally sounds the same to him. He has dreams about people, about the world being one entity that is in love with him, you know, and will do anything for him, no matter who it is. So, yeah, he is the worst person in the world.
Because he wrote a book.
Yep.
Speaking of writing in books.
Are you calling me the worst person in the world?
I'm just saying there's a correlation. I don't know if there's causation yet, but we're watching it.
But this, well, but this movie has your favorite taxi ride in it, though.
Yeah.
I definitely like the thing about it, though, is that I definitely didn't leave this movie going, I love this movie. And this movie is one of those movies where I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel exactly. I know there's some things that I'm curious about and some things that I'm interested in how it was executed as a as an effect. But I definitely wasn't like synecdoche or or if I just say that, Damien just gets like curls up.
I just remember the fire.
The firehouse.
And me. And just the hatred I feel of the inside.
I know I watched that movie with him. Yes. I feel like, were you there when we watched
it? No, fucking way. I watched that movie a second time. Are you drunk?
That movie, Damien.
And it's definitely not an Eternal Sunshine.
Because Eternal Sunshine is...
Do you see...
But it's also another yourself, human nature, which I don't like.
Do you see yourself watching this movie again?
It would take a while. I'd have to... It would have to be like one of those movies where I'm like, I watched it. I'm okay. And then like 5 years from now, someone is like, want to watch Anomaly? So, like, okay.
And you go, don't talk to me again. This relationship is up.
Is that what you're going to say to me 5 years from now when I say, let's watch Anomaly?
No, but I already know you're a bad person.
Maybe one day if I have more than 5 minutes to stream.
Saying we forgot about Catwoman last week, talking about female superhero movies.
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
For good reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. Who was that? That's
John. John.
Okay.
It was just like, why did you guys talk about Catwoman?
Hey, no, John, not about that movie.
I just want to let everybody here know that Boomerang is a real thing.
Of course. Of course it is. And Boomer Book.
Oh yes.
So anyways, anything you guys want to talk about?
Star Wars.
What about Star Wars?
Yeah, what about Star Wars?
If you change around some of the letters, you can make Rasta.
That you can. And get Rastar. It's also good. We keep talking about the litany of spandex movies that are coming out.
I'm happy you picked up on the terminology.
Yeah. Spandex films, that's pretty good. Melissa McCarthy is in a new movie though.
Yes.
She's a boss.
Saw the trailer for that dumb movie and really want to watch it. Douglas won't, because Douglas.
Does anybody have that movie on their list?
Nope.
Alright, cool. I don't need to watch it.
And when I saw it, I mean, you haven't really seen any comedies this year. And this took me down Dark Dark Road. Mm-hmm. And where the road ended was 50 Shades of Black.
Oh, why?
No.
Why?
I won't force any of you to watch a movie.
Wait, sorry. Hold on. Where is this going?
No.
Damien, where is this going?
Zoolander.
Oh, right.
And
there was
Zoolander. And we went down and watched Grimsby, which is god-awful.
Was it horrible? Actually, you know what? Here's a problem with Grimsby, right? Mm-hmm. Grimsby is about as good as the Ali G movie. However, I already liked Ali G.
Right.
So there is a lot that I gloss over in that Ali G movie. You can do that with this one. However, it's not the worst.
I'm not saying there aren't moments that
I like that review.
Right? Not saying there aren't moments that I didn't love. But when I leave the movie and I think for a half second, like, no, that movie's bad.
Listen, this movie, it's not the worst.
Yeah. Are we talking 50 Shades of Black now or
No, I wanted to try.
All right,
and force Damien to not say what he sounds like he's about to say. He sounds like he's about to say something very damning on his character.
Just hold up.
First of all, I'm all right with accepting people's resignation.
I enjoyed 50 Shades of Grey, the experience.
To our listeners, we are accepting applications.
No, 50 Shades of Grey was universally panned as hot garbage, as I predicted, as everyone predicted. And while the movie was terrible, me sitting and watching someone be miserable at a movie she wanted to see a lot.
Are we still talking about Black or
No, we're talking about Grey. Grey, the experience was fantastic.
So many Twilight jokes.
50 Shades of Black hit off. Like, it is a proper parody of that dumb movie. Douglas, you can't help but laugh because they nail what is wrong about the movie so hard that even when they inject their stereotypical black humor, put that in quotes, because of course there's, like, I saw it in the trailer, they're like, no, white people argue like this, and black people.
Yeah, that was the worst.
There's some of that in there, and you go, come on guys, they're better than that. Turns out, they are better than that. Some of this movie is, now, on its own, if you've never seen 50 Shades of Grey, then do not watch this movie. There's nothing here for you.
But did everyone watch 50 Shades of Grey?
Exactly. And that is why you need to
so
watch.
So much so, I actually watched some of 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Black is fun. It is a fun spoof of a dumb thing that happened. And I forgot that people did. Like, there was a time they did that nonstop.
Yeah.
Every movie that came out.
Scary movie.
Right.
Girls, whatever. Like, it was,
all of it.
Yeah.
And, this one, I like it. I like it. I didn't think I was going to. And I honestly didn't see this happening, but if you've seen 50 Shades of Grey, you owe it to yourself to enjoy laughing
there
at
there is your severance pay.
you get a second chance to laugh at a bad movie. Yeah, I don't deserve it. Like, I owe Andrew money. All the hours he spent editing the two of us be dumb. No, can't pay for the time of service. But yeah, there's a lot of spoof. Like, I realize that people are still making spoof movies, like, a lot, but a lot of them are straight to DVD or whatever it is now, straight to video. Like, they don't get a lot of
straight to VHS.
Major. Can only hope. They don't get major releases anymore. Unless you consider all those horror movies that they come up with every year, spoofs of other better horror movies. In which case they put them up all the time. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by this dumb movie. It's dumb, but it is making fun of something even more stupid. And I didn't think this was going to happen.
Like a dumb movie. Douglas doesn't seem happy at all. Have you started watching House of Lies?
I haven't yet, you know. No. Is it still exactly what it was before?
I can only assume they've continued on that road. And I'll continue to watch it.
Yeah, I don't care. Sadly, I will. As much as I really don't like Don Cheadle.
I'm not sad.
And at a certain level, I really don't like that show either. But
you can't stop.
I can't stop it.
Enough, it's too late.
Yeah.
I've gotten out. I'm out. I've escaped. Wholesome lies.
Listen, you were still watching Arrow, so you haven't escaped.
I have other things I'm trapped in. I always have to pat myself on my back when I escape one of those.
I escaped.
Right? I escaped Two Big Bang Theory.
You escaped Two Bro Girls.
I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
Like
man.
It
I'm
got too bad. Like
Two Girls got at, too bad.
At this point, it is like it is barely a show. It is just shitty jokes by terrible people.
Yeah.
And one of the girls is incredibly good looking. And I can't do it anymore. I can't. But Walking Dead is like done, right? So I can't.
Yeah, The Walking Dead is when they started the fear of Walking Dead last time.
Do you guys watch that?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's very good.
You can watch the first season.
Or at least last season was very good. People are complaining about this episode.
So far behind, though.
It's only 6 episodes.
No, not with the... I still need
Oh, you mean shows in general.
Right, I need to finish Daredevil. I need to finish Walking Dead. And then you want me to start Fear of the Walking Dead.
It's only 6 episodes.
When does Preacher come out?
Summer.
Sometime soon.
God, I want to see Preacher. I just want to see if they come close. Love that book.
They've been
released. Actually bought it, you know.
The book?
Yeah. I didn't read it again. I just bought it.
I'm sad that they don't have like a big hardcover that I can just buy as opposed to having like the 9 broken volumes. Oh, yeah.
I think it might be the only books that have been
books. Yeah, on. Exactly. You need
do those count as books?
They're the closest thing that.
Because, I mean, I sat down and read the new Black Panther that just came out. I'm like, this isn't a book. It's awesome.
That superhero is the worst.
The worst?
Not Douglas. I mean, I shouldn't say this because I do a podcast on the internet and there's a chance lunatics will hear this. Superheroes are dumb. All of them.
That name is just...
Not Spider-Man.
Oh my god.
These spiders are
he's
real.
He's a black panther.
He's a panther. Oh, and he's black.
Yeah.
Ah!
And the name of the country is Wakanda.
Okay.
I know something.
The other day, Andrew says to me, yeah, he comes from Africa. He comes from Zamunda.
But I said it knowingly. I said it knowingly. That I couldn't remember the made up country that they live in.
Him on Edinburgh.
My response to him was, did he leave to row his, to sow his royal oats? And Andrew looked at me very disdainfully.
Oh, he left to kick ass. Right, so what I wanted to talk about...
Life was better then.
Was this last week, I revisited a movie I haven't seen for a long time. It's a movie Douglas introduced me to.
Death to Smoochie.
It is Itu Mama Tambien.
Why are we doing this?
Itu Mama! You don't like Itu Mama Tambien?
Yeah, he hates
Nope.
I actually saw you watching that movie, and it's weird how time works.
Yeah, I think because you thought your life turns out.
No,
to be
it has no. It has nothing to do with that. Just the people in that movie.
Gael Garcia.
Yeah, specifically Gael Garcia. I caught a glimpse of the two of them, and I was like, wow. Look how young they are, but you never...
They're still so tiny.
Yeah, I know, but you don't realize it as you, like, I don't want to say grow with them, but as you watch them in more movies, you're just like, yeah, he's a year older here, a year old, it makes sense. Yeah. But then if you just go straight back, you're like, jump back. So yeah,
mm-hmm. It's like watching Cool Hand Luke and then The Verdict. Like,
yeah,
he got old.
Yeah,
real quick. Yeah.
Actually, it's really difficult for me sometimes to watch people that I know old. So like, there are people that when I grew up, they were already old.
Yeah,
people like James Coburn, people like Glenn Close to a certain degree, but she wasn't old, but she was mature
Meryl
enough.
Street.
Did I say Meryl Streep?
Nope, I'm.
You're adding, okay.
I'm adding to the list.
Right. Yeah, so that, like, you know, you see, that's how they are crystallized in my mind as the age that they were when I was growing up and watching them. And then all of a sudden, you watch the older movies, and there are some people who, you know, well, they are the same person, so they look similar. Yeah. There are some people that look completely different, and that's an interesting thing.
Kirk Douglas looks the same at 80.
Yeah, he kind of does.
30.
Yep.
Every time I turn on Ace in the Hole, I'm like, yeah, that's Kirk Douglas. But yeah, Y Tu Mamá También.
Mm-hmm. Timeless classic.
Timeless. This movie is still fantastic.
Yep.
Like, it was actually one of those movies where I bought it and I was like, you know, I don't know if I still like this movie because I remember some things put in question marks over it, but I want to watch it again. I'll add this onto my Criterion sale list. Just buy it. And lo and behold, that movie is fantastic. And it's one of those strange things because this year, and I know I've fallen off of this thing that I plan to do. This year, one of the initiatives that people are going by on the internet is this 52 Films by Women initiative, where they promise to watch one movie a week, mm-hmm. new to them, that's directed by a woman.
All right, the new to them part, I can't.
So then you can't watch Zero Dark Thirty every week and be done.
I am watching that movie on a steady weekly clip.
That it doesn't stop you from watching that.
It's on Hurt Locker, just back to back every week.
And I was doing well up until around week 10, and it's nothing bad about the movies, it's just that slowly but surely I kept going like, oh, I'll do it on Friday, and then I don't do it on Friday, I'll do it on Saturday, it just snowballs, and I need to keep going.
But you know what though, you make time to watch Star Wars, you sexist fuck.
if one of the people holding the camera at the basketball or football game is a woman, does that come? I mean, there's no way I can know. I can just assume they're women.
Well, you can,
and then I'm...
You can hope for
anything. Think about it, right, those events have directors.
You're right.
There's nothing to stop that director from
being a woman.
Yeah,
right? I don't know. And most importantly, they don't know.
TV show episodes don't count either.
TV shows don't have directors lists.
So and the one thing that I have to say that I noted about these movies, because I did like the first 10 weeks without a problem. Those movies.
Is it that there is a list that people are going through?
No,
or
it's
just
anything.
Okay.
Anything you can come up with, you make your own list. I mean, there are people who are making lists who are like, if you want to go by this one of the movies I'd like to recommend to you, pick ones out of this list. But
so
you just make...
I couldn't just do Near Dark.
I mean, you shouldn't just the
Near Dark. You have to watch another different one the next week.
Near Dark.
And it has to be new.
The Near Dark.
You have to not see. Anyways, let's stop talking about this.
Dark Knight Rises.
The one thing that I noted about these movies is how much sex scenes played completely differently. Watching them, so people love to, like, one of the big things that the internet loves to get up on about, and I'm sure there'll be at least 10 articles over the 10 weeks of the show coming back, Game of Thrones, HBO in general, as it deals with, like, ludicrous, just general, just throwing in your sex, and just
so
making
hold on.
It,
what you're saying
I watch
is that movies like Blue is the Warmest Color, that's not, like, regular sex? I thought that's how sex
I just assumed.
Scissors everywhere.
Listen, I watch Oz. That is where I learned sex. HBO's Oz as a child.
Like, there's something about how, at least the movies I watched over those 10 weeks, how the female filmmakers are presenting sexual moments in these movies just come off as completely different and more intimate than just straight up titillating, as people like to put.
So it's like they're playing that Otis Redding song.
I guess. And it's a thing that I started thinking about watching Itumama Tambien again, even though I know it's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who mm-hmm. is not a woman.
You sure about that?
I don't know, but that's not really feminine.
But as a movie that has so much to deal with sex in itself, it's about these two youngsters taking this older lady across the country, basically because they're attracted to her and hope that they can get to have sex with her.
I've done that. We've all done that.
And then it happens. Yay!
That part didn't happen.
That even though it doesn't go as far on the scale as some of the female movies that I watched at the beginning mm-hmm. of the year, it definitely feels a lot more intimate, and it feels so much so that you're not watching it going like, oh, breasts, I should put this on the internet for 13-year-olds to masturbate to. Mm-hmm. it's actually a really interesting look at a road movie where sex is there, and it's actually something that brings you into the characters. And no, don't make the joke.
No, I mean, I agree. It's a smart deconstruction of a young boy's desire to fuck his cousin. Yeah. Just say.
Married relationship.
Oh, no, you're doing it.
I guess it's sad that I didn't remember that at all. It wasn't until I was watching it like for 5 minutes with you, and I was like, that's his cousin. Wait, I think that's...
The thing that I've... Ever since going down this road of becoming a film asshole...
Wait, I just realized.
Yes, is this a new phone? Yes, it is a new phone. It's not purple. I want it to be purple, but there's no purple. When you watch... foreign films.
Foreign.
You realize that their attitude towards sex is not the American attitude. Whenever there's sex on this, whenever there's any nudity or sexual situations in American movies, it is usually played for titillation. They're like, oh, look at this. Look how adult this movie is. Look, breastises. And then you're like, oh. And they even change the type of music or whatever. But if you watch enough European movies, you start to realize, oh, no. They're just, like, naked people are in the movie because there's times when people are naked. Right? They don't do the dumb thing where, oh, these two have just had sex and so... The sheet magically covers.
So the sheet is just the thing, attached.
The thing that has never happened in the history of sex. Where, oh, I just had sex with you, let me cover up the both of us. Right. There's times people have, like, shower scenes in American movies. Like, there's a slow panning shot, and it, like, it goes up and down, and the lady's like...
In and out, right? And yeah.
And with, like, European movies, just, oh. Like, it's just this still steady shot. Like, oh, what are naked people? And so it's, like, it's different attitudes. Now, I haven't gone and watched as many movies shot by women as Andrew has, so I don't really, can't really speak to what Andrew has seen. But this is the thing that I realized a long time ago. Watching like movies.
That's because when you watch movies, you don't see sex, right? You
don't. No, you don't... I don't see color. Mostly because the TV is black and white. Right? Has nothing to do. For a while, I thought, oh, this is only Europe, but it works the same way in Japanese movies and especially in Korean movies, where a lot of the times when you see naked people,
let's wait. Hold on. I think we need to kind of make sure that people understand that the only Korean movies you watch have nothing to do with, you know, sexy people in showers. Mm-hmm. It more has to do with getting revenge.
Right.
With
people. Right. The murdering of.
And the only time you see somebody in a shower is because they're getting ready to murder.
Right. I mean, it got to the point where.
But it was that, like, even horror movies from America.
whenever the girl is about to be murdered by the thing, that shot is still shot for, like, it's still gratuitous. They're like, okay, she's about to be murdered, and you guys would even give her the respect No, look at her before we murder her, because that's clearly what this movie is about.
Part of me wants to do this 52 weeks thing, right? Because I understand conceptually that it makes sense and it would be a good thing, but I do not care enough. I'm not going to lie. I do not care who makes my movies. I just want good or dumb movies.
But what if they're good movies you're not seeing because you're not making an effort to go and find those movies?
But it's 2016, that's not how it works anymore. If movies are good enough, they usually win awards, right? And that's usually how I find most of my movies. I look, when it's time for, I need to watch something new. I usually go, what won something somewhere? And then watch that. A lot of times it ends up in me being very upset. Because a lot of these award-winning movies are real bad. But
you could, well, sometimes they're clearly great. That means that your sourcing of material, your policy is flawed.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
So let's revamp it. Let's make it work for you.
Just text Douglas every time you want to move.
Actually, that would be even better than what I was thinking. But I was saying you need to take on a more holistic approach. Like, for instance, if you are on Twitter and see a poster that looks good, you watch that movie, right? If you
see a
trailer with a great song, you watch that movie.
I miss doing my Netflix roulette.
Me too.
That was so. That was such a nice.
I love Netflix.
Because it was always a travesty.
Netflix roulette. I did this thing. Where before they introduced the mailing list, they used to have your queue.
Yeah.
Where you just add to your queue, and they'd actually number it. So I'd go on Twitter when I'm like, I don't know what to watch. I'd be like, Twitter Netflix roulette between 1 and 500. Pick a number.
And you just watch.
And just whatever was at that number.
There's literal websites that do that. You just punch in your thing, and it's like, all right, cool, movie.
Yeah, know. But, you know, that's for those of us who can watch Netflix now. Like, how's that going for you, Damien?
I can watch things in Jamaica. So it's fucking tough.
I'm hoping what I just emailed fixes it.
Hopefully, that's good. Like, because I'm on the verge. I haven't told you this. I'm literally on the verge of buying a Roku 4 so that I can have two devices. One that is just for Netflix. I can work in Jamaica, and the other one that works for everything else.
This is dumb. This entire internet blocking, region lock nonsense is the dumbest shit. The internet
has come up with. It's a symptom of what was before.
Yeah.
And it's business people trying to hold on to a format of business that, what I really love is for them to come out and present the numbers to be like, this is because it's all good for us to complain, to be like, we want it, why don't you give it to us, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to see the numbers done of how much money it's making for them today versus how much it would make for them tomorrow if they freed it up.
They'll never expose those numbers because it's deals. I understand when they do it with big markets, right? Markets that legitimately have people on the other side that made deals years ago to get shit done, right? Jamaica is not one of those markets. They don't even count sales from Jamaica. No one gives a fuck about Jamaica. Our market is so small that it is insignificant. We only got Netflix as a side effect of bringing it to, like,
Trinidad.
Right? to South America. They're like, all right, we have to do it there. And so I guess the card runs past the Caribbean. Let's give them some of the ones that zero spill out over the Caribbean. We can't give them some. Like, no one cares about the Caribbean. So, like, we should, like, what they should do is go, all right, you're here, pay us extra money. And of course, that is my argument for everything. No. Now that I'm an old man that doesn't care anymore.
Just tell me.
Like, it is sad that I've got. There's a point I would steal literally anything there was to steal on the internet. I can't remember when the last time I pay for absolutely everything, because I cannot be bothered to not. And I understand that that's me and a lot of people aren't in that position. But if you can't afford it, then you get to have Netflix. Let me pay more money. Just let me pay. I don't want to have to. I work too hard to have to come home and fiddle with shit. Just give me Douglas. Just call Mr. Net. What's his name? Blake?
Steve.
Call Steve. Tell him. I cannot. I'm tired of it. I don't want to watch Jamaican version on Netflix. All those movies are garbage. I want to watch a real version on Netflix.
To be fair, though, the Jamaican version of Netflix gives you Better Call Saul at the end of each week.
Isn't it, like, as it airs? Like,
that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Guess what? I was only going to watch it when the season was done anyway. It's useless information. And why is Hulu blocking me out of America? Like, who do they think they're... It's so dumb. But we've talked about this millions and millions of times. Back to the movie thing. Like, I understand because, you know, more people want more representation of themselves in movies. And I get it. But I do not care. It is not, like...
It's not movies, on your top 10 list right, of issues of the world.
Like, it's not a problem. It is really is not a, it's not a real problem. It is a... Whenever I see people in arguments like this, and I've said it to my mother, it is a sign that the world is getting better because people are running out of legit shit to complain about. This isn't a real... I don't give a fuck who makes movies. I cannot care. What's his... 12 Years a Slave guy.
Steve McQueen.
I found out that he was black when they started talking. I loved two of his movies prior. Did not... And hated one. Still didn't know he was black.
Which one? Shame?
Shame. Mm. Didn't know he was black because I could not give... I didn't assume he was white because I didn't care. I don't care who... When people tell me who makes the movies, unless his name is Christopher Nolan, it's not because he's white. It's because his movies are awesome. If the Wachowskis changed their gender and made me better movies, I don't care what people do in their bedrooms. I don't care who they like. I don't have time. Those aren't real problems. There's real shit in the world to worry about. I'm tired of hearing people bitch about why Star Wars sucks or why anything about movies suck or who isn't represented. I get that you want representation, but I cannot... give
so okay
any more fucks up.
So Damien, I can't argue with the there more important things to debate problem.
No, I'm not listening. When I say this, I don't want anyone to think that their problems with how they see movies or whatever the thing is there, love, isn't justified. You feel free to have your issue with whatever. I'm talking for me personally. I cannot. Like, I really tried. When you told me about the thing, I went, yeah, this is... And I love lists. I love making lists and watching movies. And I couldn't get it done.
You couldn't come up with a list? No, you couldn't find...
I came up with a list. Of course.
Hurt Locker.
Yeah, right. Zero Dark Thirty. Hurt Locker.
There were 50 movies on the list. Sure, there was some overlap. Like, honestly, like when I saw myself adding movies by What's-Her-Face,
Sofia Coppola.
That's the only person you'd do it. You know what? Fuck this. This is not a real problem. If I'm going to force myself to watch Sofia Coppola movies, then this is not a real thing. I need to fuck all of this nonsense. Sure, more women should make movies. You guys figure that out on your end. I mean, fuck.
See, that's why I'm happy for things like this, because I don't go the route of being like, what's a woman I know who makes films? Sofia Coppola, I think there's one I haven't seen. I go the route of, who have I not watched a movie of? I haven't seen a movie by Mira Nair. I Everyone talks
really?
About her.
You've never watched never a millionaire? What?
No, never seen a millionaire movie. Jeez. Sorry. Before this list.
Chameleonaire?
I haven't seen a Jane Campion movie.
I have
I think.
Seen one of her movies.
Pretty sure I've seen one.
Didn't watch a piano until I saw it made this list.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Didn't watch any of the Bridget Jones movies. Which some may say really
I saw all of those. I saw all of those movies years and years ago.
You shouldn't be going, Damien. Did I tell you how this man duped me?
Mm-hmm.
Fooled me into watching a shitty ass
Bridget Jones movie.
Douglas,
there was Hugh Grant in it. Didn't I promise you Hugh Grant?
Like, I tried to explain it to you guys, but you don't understand because you don't have sisters. I've seen those movies. They're burned into my... When all my mental faculties leave me, all I will remember
is Bridget Jones.
Is Ever After, A Cinderella Story, and Bridget Jones. That's all that will be there. So yeah, I've seen those movies. And if you said, Damien, you know that a man directed those movies, I'd have gone, I hate him all the same. Like, it would have made any difference.
Anyways, I guess we should wrap it up. Douglas, anything to add? Good.
I agree with your comment on safe sex. Yes.
That's wonderful.
Congratulations.
I watched BET when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that TV channel had nothing but talking about unsafe sex. Just music
except
channels.
For when they had the ads on. So it was like they would have the actual show be like, no, yep, money, hose and clothes, come on.
Yeah.
And then they'd have the ads be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey.
Hey.
I know that
careful.
Look. I know that the music videos were playing. Looks cool and all. Don't do this.
And then,
but that's why you mute
and
the
then
television
you turn on the camera and see the little boy watching being like, huh? What am I supposed to do?
Think that. What about having holes in different area codes? Isn't that what you do? Big pimpin'?